Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast. This podcast features real people with real life stories from GBC. While these stories are their lived experience and we are thankful for their honesty and vulnerability in sharing with us, we are aware that sometimes topics raised and issues discussed on the pod might cause the listeners distress or in some situations be triggering. If you need emergency assistance, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or their website is lifeline.org.au. If you need additional assistance, non-urgent support, contact a counselling service such as Hopefield on their website, hopefield.org.au, or call them on 02-9545-0299, or speak to your pastor or trusted friend. Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
Tonight, we've got my beautiful wife with you, Brianna. How's it going?
Hello, I'm very well and I'm so pleased to be here.
And myself, Adam, of course, and Dylan tonight. How are you going, mate?
I'm going really well, yeah.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to know? Currently, I'm working as a computer technician. I've been doing that for the last couple of months.
Nice.
I've been going to GBC for quite a while now, actually.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe since like year five, like through the youth.
Yeah,
and then like going
cool.
to church services probably for the last like six years, something like that.
Yeah, nice.
So I've been around GBC.
Amount of time.
Yeah, a little bit, which is good. But before that, I've been to like a bunch of other churches. Like I grew up going to church. Mm-hmm. Really good. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. So computer technician, what does that look like on a day-to-day?
Well, it varies a little bit. But normally when I say it, people
can
are
you
like,
fix my phone?
Yeah.
It's fine, but could you?
Are you like the tech guy? Are you like, what's that TV show with the where they like, have you restarted your computer?
Yeah, IT crowd. IT crowd, that's right.
I actually used to work at Vodafone, so people do ask.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'm happy to. If someone wants
I worked at Allphone, so it was the one question. Have you restarted your phone? No. Hands it here.
Yeah. But I work at like a computer company, so like everybody there is like among computers
and
we get in a bunch of computers, we kind of fix them up, erase a bunch of old data and then like kind of resell them.
Oh, cool.
So that's been pretty good recently.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Enjoying it.
And so GBC, you've been here since about year five, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's a few years.
Yeah, I started going to Edge here, actually.
Oh, wow.
For those listening in who maybe don't know what Edge is.
Oh, I can tell you
what
about
What is Edge? Tell us about it.
Bring on Edge. Come on. Here we go.
Edge.
Unlock it.
Edge
Let's
is
go. Unpack.
The best. So Edge is on Wednesday nights, years five and six or years four in term four. Come along at around 7, 7:30. Oh, no, five. Sorry, thinking about youth.
Hang on.
and me, I'm actually an Edge leader there now.
Oh, see?
And a bunch of
other
leaders.
Evolution there, people.
Yeah. Just lead the kids through a program. We go through talks. We do food activities, stuff like that.
Cool.
And we tell Bible stories, something.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, that's fantastic. So a little bit of Bible study teaching, but also a great space for young kids to get together, hang out, have some fun in a safe space.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And is it a whole bunch of different schools that come?
Yeah. There's quite a big variation between like different kids that come. Mm. A lot of the time what happens is like a few kids will come and they're like, this is great. I'm going to invite my friends. And then they'll invite their friends. And we've had times. I've been doing it for a few years now. So there's been like quite a few waves of kids going through.
Yeah, cool.
There's been times where it's like half the class of like their school is just like gone to Edge on Wednesday nights.
Which
is really
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then I suppose, you know, you said as they sort of flow through, that's because they've kind of leveled up in a way, they're past sort of the maximum age and then maybe they can move into the next bracket, which would be what's youth. After Edge?
Yeah, youth. Yeah. So yeah.
Cool.
They can, in Term 4, they can go to Edge and Youth, actually. They can, like, start going to Youth, kind of ease them into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
And then from, like, Year 7 to 12, they do Youth Group, which I'm also a leader at, which is also amazing.
Excellent.
Nice. So good.
There
you go. Yeah.
So if people wanted to come along to Edge, what night is that on?
It's Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights, 5 o'clock at Guymere Baptist Church. And then Youth is?
Friday nights at, I really hope I get this right, I'm pretty sure it's 7:30. It might be 7. I really should know.
Well, you probably come early because you're one of the leaders, right?
He comes
so you're
early,
like, I'm kicking around here way before the others.
Just rock up on a Friday night at 7. If you're half an hour early, happy days.
Bring
at
a least friend.
Yeah, that's right. Bring a friend.
Bring a friend, definitely.
Ah, that sounds excellent. Wish I was that age again, right?
I know. It sounds awesome. Let's get along. What's something people might not know about you?
That's hard. I feel like I just tell everybody everything.
Bit of an open book kind of guy.
Yeah, that's the
one. A little bit. Oh, actually, okay. No, I do have a story.
Nice.
I've been stung by a giant stinging tree before.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, what?
I don't know if people know what that is, but it's like one of the most like poisonous, like painful stings you can get in the world.
Whoa.
Wow.
I was up in Cairns visiting my mom up there.
Yeah.
And we were like doing a road trip or something and like my mom's like full for adventure. So am I. I love it. And we were just like driving along. We saw this mountain. We were like, let's go climb it. And it's like this mountain just made of like these big boulders. And we're like, oh, we got to climb that.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to climb it. We got to like the base and I like ran off. I was like, I want to get to the top.
Yeah.
And then I heard like my mom like yell. And I was like, oh no, what's happening? I turned around. I came back. She was like in the middle of like this giant string
oh
tree
my
bush.
Goodness.
Like walked through the whole
thing. Oh my gosh.
It was horrible.
No.
So I like helped my mom out, like pulled her out of it. Like,
oh my
but
gosh.
To do that, I had to go into it to get her out of
oh
it.
Oh no!
But I wasn't thinking about that at the time.
No, I'm just trying to help.
I'm
mom.
Just saving my mom. Yeah, exactly.
And then
bro.
We actually had to go to hospital, because it was in a town in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. There was no doctor at the hospital.
Oh no!
So we had to like call them up, and then eventually a nurse came and like all this. We had to like pull all the little barbs
ooh.
Out. But yeah, very, very, very painful.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I actually still, like, I got it on my legs. Yeah. If I have a cold shower now, I can still feel it. Like,
wow.
Wow. Yeah. What, years later?
Years later.
It's just that, like, muscle memory of the pain of it.
Oh, my gosh.
So what was there anything they could do to treat it once all the things were out?
Not
or?
Really.
Wow.
So you just said, were you on a like, drip or something? Or like you
well,
just...
I actually didn't get anything because I was just like, but I was focused on mum and mum was like, really bad because she was like it was all over and stuff. I think
oh
they
gosh.
Needed to give her like heavy pain medication or something like that.
Yeah, wow. And then your body just has to naturally kind of repair itself.
Yeah. So that was kind of brutal.
All right. That's so more if you're up in North Queensland,
still a story. No,
watch
that
out for
to
those
too.
Stinging trees.
Yeah, yeah. Stinging trees, stinging bush. Yeah. Stay away.
We actually looked up the mountain later, and it's called Death Mountain. Probably should have known.
Now that we know the name.
Yeah, probably an idea not to go to Death Mountain.
But you conquered Death Mountain because you said you went back. Did you make it to the summit?
No. Because we read the sign and it was like Death Mountain, known for giant stinging trees and what are the snakes called? The king... I don't know. Some really poisonous snake. Brown snakes.
Brown
the
snakes.
King Browns?
Yeah, King Browns.
Oh, there
that's
you
what
go.
It was known for. That's, that's why it was called Death Mountain.
Oh, yeah. So okay. Stay away, people.
Yeah. We did not go back.
When you see the sign for Death Mountain, walk away.
First hand experience.
Yeah. Don't run straight past it like
that. Yeah. Keep an eye out for that sign in Cairns.
Oh, I love it. So, Dylan, is there a particular maybe movie or TV series that's influenced your faith journey?
Ooh. That's kind of hard. I haven't really watched too many movies that I would say have influenced my faith. Mm-hmm. Normally, like when I was a kid, I could say like VeggieTales, I guess.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Tell us more about VeggieTales.
I've actually watched all of it so many times.
Oh, nice.
That's like how I know the like all the Bible stories is like from VeggieTales.
Oh, that's so encouraging. Get your kids into VeggieTales, people.
It is. It's pretty cool. But now when I think about like stories, I think about it in terms of VeggieTales.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So I told this at youth a few weeks ago now. But like if I think about like David and Goliath, like Goliath, he's a giant zucchini for me. and David is like a tiny asparagus or whatever he is. So that's a picture I have.
I love that. That's so cool.
A little asparagus with a little sling.
Yeah. Hasn't it got like little tomatoes and stuff?
Yeah, I think he's got like tiny little
green arms. So yeah. That's cool. I love their high-pitched voices. I can't do them, but they're really cute and cool, yeah.
So VeggieTales, that came out a little while ago, and that was written by some, like a Christian collective, wasn't it?
I'm not too sure, honestly. Yeah. I just remember being a kid. And,
like, I'm pretty sure it's a Christian-based, animation.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. VeggieTales is where it's at. And so you remember a lot of the Bible stories because you learnt them as a kid by watching this cartoon series.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like through that and going to like Sunday school.
Yeah, nice.
I know so many Bible stories just like through that. And like I've looked back on them now and like read through them again and be like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
But where I've originally remembered them is like VeggieTales and like Sunday school.
Yeah,
cool. Awesome.
It's amazing. And I love any tools like that help just keep it simple sometimes, especially for kids or new Christians trying to get across some of those Bible stories that, maybe you've heard of the characters and you're like, what was that all about or what actually happened there or where was God at work in that?
Yeah.
And picking that up even from a young age as a kid watching something as simple as VeggieTales.
Yeah, how good is that, eh?
Yeah, it's and part it shows of building that, your foundations.
Well, it says that the gospel is so simple that even a 5-year-old can understand it. You know, it doesn't have to be complex like some of us adults make it, you're a testament to that VeggieTales explains it the way they do and you picked up on it and even seeing it, remembering it as an adult now. That's good testament to that show and to how the Bible is quite simple and it's, at the basic level, which is awesome.
Yeah. I even love how God's got a sense of humor. God's obviously given the writers of that show that creative genius and that idea of how to share his gospel to kids through cartoon vegetables. But it works. It's fantastic. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. So when did you become a Christian, Dylan?
I don't know if it was like a set night or like a certain date for me because I've kind of grown up knowing about God.
Sure.
You know, like I said, I'd listened to VeggieTales when I was young and went to Sunday school.
So from an early age, you think then?
Yeah, well, I would say like when I think about it for me, it's when I committed to it and committed to having a faith of my own and not just my mum's faith.
Sure. Yes.
Or just knowing of this God. But what does that actually mean for you?
And it's for me it was more like, do I actually want this for me? And also does God want it for me? That's kind of how I thought about it. Growing up I like my mom was Christian, went to a Christian school, Sutherland Shire Christian School or Shire Christian School I think it's now. So all around me Christian environment, which was
influence,
great.
Influence. The whole thing. Cool.
But I went to the Christian school, but it was just me, my mom, and my two brothers growing up.
Okay.
My dad was there, but we had a pretty complicated relationship and not like physically living with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with fair me. Enough.
So that meant like mom was like single mom, three kids. All the kids went to like Shire Christian school, which is amazing in itself, and I have no idea how she managed that, and I'm so grateful for it.
That's incredible.
But that also meant that like all of the money that we had went to that. Me growing up in that environment, I loved it. It was great, but also it was pretty hard in terms of like just looking at all the other kids and all the other people and like and their lives and I guess what they had, I would talk to them, like, oh, what do you do on the weekend or like the holidays break? And they'll be like, oh, I went on this amazing holiday or something or, went and did this thing with my dad, right? As a kid, I didn't have any of that really. So I kind of always saw God and was like, yep, he's real, he's there. But I saw him as something that like is for all these other people, all these people that have like lives that are worked out God wants to be a part of their life. But for me, like, I don't think he really cares kind of growing up, right?
Fair enough.
And that was through out all of school, I would say, even like into high school. And then I would say in year 10, one of my best friends at the time got diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, wow.
That's heavy.
Yeah. And through, I guess, hearing about that and through, dealing with that throughout that year, that was really hard, and that really started to make me question God and, like, is he a good God?
Mm. Yeah.
But my friend Nathan, which was the person diagnosed with cancer, he was, like, the best person ever. He, like, outstanding guy, funny, caring, loving. And everyone that knew him would say the same thing. But the most standoutish thing I would say is that, like, he was a Christian and he was committed to his faith, and, like, through everything that he went through was just, like, really solid Christian.
That's incredible too.
Yeah, like he always used to say, actually, I've got it on my necklace. I always wear this necklace around. And I've got it engraved on it. And he always says, no matter what happens in life, the only thing that really matters is trusting in Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, amen to that. Yeah, that's so great. True.
So I guess throughout the year of year 10 and talking to him, just having conversations with him, and like, how are you doing it? How are you still a Christian? How are you still so committed when your life is in such a horrible situation, now? And just through the conversations I had with him and the confidence that he had that God still loved him, I guess for me, I started to really consider that for my life and really be maybe God does care about me. And I was kind of thinking about this stuff, and then year 10 finished, and we're going into year 11 actually. And I remember this was like, it's probably one of the craziest days of my life. I had I was just at home, I was just like sitting on my bed, and my mom gave, like, I got a phone call from my mom, and over the phone she told me that my grandma actually just passed away.
Oh wow.
And obviously I was in shock, like no one expected it.
That's heavy, yeah.
Didn't really know what to say. After a few minutes the phone call ended. And then I was just sitting on my bed, and maybe 10, 20 minutes later I got another phone call, and I thought it was gonna be like about my grandma, of like next steps, that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Who to tell, those kinds of things. But then it was my mom telling me that Nathan actually just passed away.
Oh my gosh, what a shock.
On the same day.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
That's two big losses in the really one day. Hard.
Yeah, so that was really difficult.
So how did you deal with that?
It was really hard for a time. I remember straight away actually being like, I need to be with people, because I was alone at home at the time.
Sure.
So me and a bunch of friends were like, we're going to get together like right now today. And be with each other.
Yeah, that's a good decision, people.
Yeah.
If you're in that situation, do that. Get around people.
Mm-hmm. I actually, this is kind of separate, but it was a very crazy day. But I remember going to my friend's house, and we were all meeting up together. And I was having a conversation with someone, and through this conversation, I actually found out I had another brother, which was wild.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yep, completely different stuff. I didn't know what was going on that day.
What a day.
Whoa, all in the one.
Within a few hours.
This up, people. Yeah. This is incredible.
So that was, I didn't know what to think of that. I was like,
I'll come back to this one later.
Had two deaths today, and now I've got another brother from somewhere. What's going on? Random.
Yeah. So just generally being confused, but also like having a roller coaster with my emotions.
Yes. Of course.
And all of those things, I guess, that happened just like really made me start to question God, and really made me to like, yeah, just be like, is God even a good God?
Which is, honestly, that's a natural response.
Oh, yeah, you know, definitely.
There's seasons in life where you challenge and wrestle with God sometimes, and that sometimes can be the most healthiest thing at that point in time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it takes something difficult to happen like that for you to get you to think about God. Sometimes if you're, you know, some might say in life you could be coasting along, everything's going well, and then you lose someone or, I don't know, something bad happens.
Some tragedy.
Yeah. And then it gets you going, wow, what I need to check my life. What am I doing? It, as you were saying, is God real? Does he care about me? Does he love me? All these things start to go through your head because you're confronted with the reality that your best friend's passed away and your gran, wasn't it? Yeah. And it's like, it's crazy.
And actually, I think it was maybe a few weeks after that, not to just keep adding stuff, but my mom and my stepdad and my two little sisters, at the time we were all living together, they decided to travel around Australia and then eventually move up to Cairns, and that's where they live now.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed in school. Like, I stayed going – I was going into year 11 at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, that's like such a pivotal point with your schooling, right?
Yeah. I was kind of, 16, going to year 11 – you know, didn't have my friend, didn't have my gran, was just confused in general, and now my family was moving away.
Yeah. So who did you end up staying with if your mum's gone?
I ended up staying with my best friend.
Cool.
Yeah. So I actually lived with him and his family.
Oh, that's good.
Year 11 and year 12.
Okay. Nice. Okay, cool.
Which was a very big blessing in itself, being able to have somewhere and being able to continue to go to school.
Yeah, true.
At the same school, which was very nice.
Yep.
But I guess in those moments, I'd like kind of made the decision of like, oh, I'm going to church. I'm going to youth right now. I'm really enjoying it. The community there is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
The youth leaders, like constantly going to them and talking to them about stuff. I want to like commit to going to GBC and like commit to going to the services here. So that's what when I started, I guess, going to like church here.
Mm-hmm.
In the PM service, and it was like through year 11 and 12, I guess, just over those years, I really like decided like I want this for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, just thinking about looking back, just like the amazing people God put in my life, mm-hmm. To be able to help me through those times and like all the times that I doubted, I had people to talk to. I just had people that were like available. For me that I could just go to. And then also like I continued to pray to God and connect with him. And I think one thing that really helped me through it all was those words that Nathan said to me like throughout our conversations. And like just being able to like sit in the questions and being like, like this is a really rough situation. This is really hard. And I actually don't know what's going on and I'm confused. But I'm going to continue to follow God and I'm going to continue to seek a relationship with him. Like I said before, I didn't have a night or a certain day that I would say, like, I'm a Christian now. But
it was over time, like a slow burn. But that's sometimes a lot of the time that can happen that you just – it's brick by brick, you know.
Some sort of whiz bang explosion kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't happen overnight, but just quick succession. But it does happen over a gradual progression, which is that's great, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You mentioned you've had a few people help you out throughout your life. Time for a shout out. Who are those significant people that may have lifted you through some things?
Okay. Well, I think definitely and foremost, like my mom.
Yeah,
like
nice.
Just been so amazing in like my journey, being like the example, apart from Jesus, of like who I want to strive to be like.
Yeah, awesome.
Just in everyday life, like the amount of times I've talked to mom and like throughout the conversation, like we've just talked about like how God's been at work in our lives or her just sharing stories of like, hey, like I was praying about this for like a year and nothing happened, but I continue to pray. And today, you know, I saw the fruit of it and I want to share that with you. And how cool is this?
Oh my gosh.
And like,
that's so good.
Bring glory to God straight away.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I feel like that's really helped me just naturally want to talk about God and talk about like my relationship with him and how he's been working in my life, how he's been working in other people's lives.
Yeah, sure.
Just because like, yeah, growing up, it was such a natural thing. Like I have so many stories of like me being like younger and mum meeting some random person and then like 20 minutes later, they're like, you know, sharing their life story with mum and mum's like praying for them or like, or vice versa, you know, like mum's sharing her story and they're, you know, blown away by it. Yeah, so definitely I would say my mom.
Awesome.
I also think like going to youth, having Matt Willis as...
Yeah, shout out to Matt.
Yeah, definitely. through so many years, having Matt just like constantly be there for me. I was thinking about this the other day actually. Like I was thinking like what is like the thing that he always like was for me? And it was like just being available like at any time, any day. I could just have a conversation and just talk to him about like anything and just like share everything I was going through. And he would just always listen.
Yeah.
Like always. And even now, just always listen.
I think that's the thing that we all need is someone we can trust that's... And I'm guessing he'd be a mentor for you too, like in a way, if he's not your mentor, like a roundabout way that you can talk to him about all sorts of things and get things off your chest and stuff like that. We all need someone like that. Like that's someone that's going to be helpful and help you get through things. So that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool, man.
And something kind of to inspire you too. And, you know, one day, if not already, someone could look up to you in that way too, which is that's really wonderful.
Exactly. Be that beacon of light for someone that's, you know, because you've been through what you've been through and we've heard a bit of it tonight. And I'm sure there's kids that go through similar things that can, you know, you can relate to them.
For,
you know, definitely.
And just like Matt for you, you're just available for them and a listening ear. And
that's right.
Someone who they trust and feel safe with and get to pray with and share stories with and encourage. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a big reason why, like, I've really enjoyed doing youth and Edge. It's like even like in youth and like going through stuff, I'm just like thinking about like, oh, I'd love to be, you know, this person for other people that someone is for me right now.
Now
like it's been such a privilege to and such a blessing to be able to be that for people through like youth group and Edge and just in like everyday life. It's been amazing.
And I just love it's kind of like just making yourself available for God and God will open those doors. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are, you know, and everyone looks and appreciates for that person that they can look up to and feel safe with at any age and stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're listening in, that could be you right now. So be encouraged.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've touched on it a little bit already, but how are you serving God at the moment, both at Gaimia Baptist Church and maybe in your local community?
Well, at church, I'll kind of volunteer like where I can in terms of like services and stuff, like welcoming, coffee, you know, those kinds of things.
Makes a mean mocha.
You don't want my coffee. I do not make coffee. I write names down and I talk to people when they walk in the door.
Both are actually really important, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
They are. They
the names right.
But you just don't want my coffee. It's not good. It's
not at least good he's at honest, people.
So I do that. But then, like I said, I also do Edge, leading at Edge. And for a time, for a time I was working at the church and I led Edge.
You were the... What are they called? The intern, weren't you? The intern.
So what does an intern look like at church?
Oh, yeah, so many things.
GBC,
so many things.
What is it? What do you do as an intern? Come on. Unpack it a little bit.
Well, I did it. I did it for 2 years and it was amazing. I loved it. Yeah,
nice.
I just helped out in a bunch of different ways. I kind of ran Edge, so like I was, I guess, in charge of the other leaders. And help them along their way and supported them in any way I could. Also did youth group for a bit. Oh, not for a bit. Like I still do it now. Been doing it for ages. And
that's where you started, was when you were the intern.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I did that alongside Matt Willis. Mm-hmm. So I actually worked with him, and then nice. When he transitioned role, I did it with Kat Lewis O'Connor.
Amazing. Yep, yep, yep.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, which was also amazing. Both of them was it was so yeah, it was such an amazing opportunity to be able to learn so many things.
Oh, for sure.
About ministry, about church, about God, like the amount of times where I'll just like be like, oh, like what happens in, you know, this specific situation, and either Kat or Matt would be able to like talk me through it or like help me out or just like be able to have a collaborative conversation about how to do youth group or do Edge or like just in general church stuff.
That's nice. So cool.
Yeah, that's
awesome. It's kind of like getting a look behind the scenes kind of thing.
yeah.
Peek behind the curtain, as they say.
Yeah. It definitely made me appreciate everything that happens at church now.
Of course.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, a lot of people shut up on Sundays or come for like a special events or midweek functions, and there is actually a lot that goes on behind the scenes to make that run so well.
Yeah, so shout out to all the
those behind the scenes people
and the ninjas, as we call them.
You are seen and appreciated.
You are seen, definitely.
So internships, if say someone was listening in right now and they're like, that kind of sounds cool, how could they go about approaching or having a conversation to find out more, put their interest forward?
Are they doing internships still?
I'm not sure about this year. Mm. Not 100% sure. I think like definitely talk to like Matt or Mark or or someone if you want to know if they're running it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, I would just say like come talk to me about it. I'll chat all day about it.
he's been there, people. Yeah, he's done it. He's run the gauntlet.
I would probably try and like set up like some sort of meeting with Matt or Mark about it.
Yeah, cool. And they'll be able to put you through your paces. Just let the person know what all their questions and
Cool. So a thing that kind of how it happened for me, like I was like the church intern, but then I kind of picked like a area that I was passionate about, which firstly was Edge actually, and then it was youth.
Yeah.
And then that's the area that I focused on.
Okay. Okay.
And that's why I worked with Matt, and that's why I worked with Kat. But at the time, it was. You could kind of pick it in a general sense or start to focus
in
different areas and on different skills. Yeah, sets. And the church like would work alongside you in whatever ministry that was.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. Nice. And if you're listening in and you're not from Gaimu Baptist Church and you're going to your local church, you know, it could be as easy as just like Dylan said, reach out to your leadership team, organize a meeting, have a chat.
Yeah. See if they're doing an internship and if it's available, that'd be great. So, Dylan, what is your take on discipleship and how do you live that out?
Well, discipleship for me is kind of simple. It's just like following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And following Jesus in everything that you do.
Yeah. Nice.
And, yeah, like every aspect of your life, no matter what it is. Like it doesn't have to be you know, in a ministry or in, you know, in church setting or like working for a church, that those kinds of things. But it's just like trying to be the best example of Jesus to like the people around you, you know, supporting those people, being the people that are just available, being the people that can just be a listening ear for other people. I think, I really do think just recently I've really thought a lot about the aspect of just, I guess, being a listening ear for people and allowing people to be heard. Because absolutely everybody, even if you agree with what they have to say or don't, like they have stuff to share. They've got experiences. Their experiences about church or God or whatever it is and like just being like – just affirming like what they're saying, being like, yeah, like 100%, you know, you did go through that or this did happen. But also like I want to be here for you in those situations and I want to be like Jesus was to so many people. like a helping hand, someone that can, yeah, lead them towards the right direction. I also think of it in terms of like just being in a relationship with God,
yeah.
And just like any other relationship, it's a two-way street, and sometimes discipleship can really look like going out and doing these big things, but it's also just like those small moments at night praying with God and just talking to him about your day, about whatever you're going through, and really also just listening to what he has to say, allowing him to speak into your life also.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome.
That's really good because often, you know, you throw discipleship around and people are, you know, they've got these big, big definitions. But I just love the truth in that simplicity that you've just shared.
Yeah.
And that's something that we can all definitely do and aspire to without feeling overwhelmed or, you know, and really God's at work. We're just the vessels, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is exciting. So, Dylan, what was a significant turning point or something in your life where you just experienced and saw God at work?
I've definitely had a lot over the years. Yeah. And I could share so many different.
Based on your life you've showed us so far, I'm sure there's a couple of decent ones.
Yeah.
Even a few.
just like so many different stories of like looking back and being like, oh my gosh. God was just there the whole time and I don't know how I didn't see it, but it's so evident and it's so like, it's just so wild to look back on and being like, man, that was not a coincidence at all. It was just like God working. Just working. But I think the story that like I'll share is been like a bit of a long kind of like over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it's really been God working in my life.
Mm.
And really, I guess, allowing God to like allow me to like heal properly and you know, and come to like a peace with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, like I've said, there's been a couple of situations where it's been pretty dramatic and pretty wild and like
yeah, it's been real.
real. But I would say the biggest part that God's been working in my life, yeah, it's been last couple of years. I'm kind of just like going straight from the other story, really. But like near the end of year 12,
yeah, sure.
I kind of mentioned my dad before and like the complicated relationship I had with him.
Mm. Yeah.
I was just really thinking about that relationship and what it meant to me, like if I wanted it, because he wasn't really there, you know, for me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did see him, it was like short or like, or even like those times where I was like looking after him and I was just kind of, yeah, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
For me, but also, I really wanted to, you know, live like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to be an example to him. I want to be an example to everybody. So I'm pretty sure it was state youth camp that I was praying about it, and I actually went to Matt Willis, and I just told him, I was like, hey, like, I want to commit to this relationship with my dad, and I really want that to be fruitful, and I really want it to be repaired, I guess. Mm.
That's amazing because, you know, you've touched on that obviously it was a lot of strain there. It wasn't like, you know, your classic father-son relationship. Tension with the family, loss only a few years before, like significant loss, losing your grandma and your best friend and finding out you had another brother. So that shifts that family dynamic again. So that's amazing that you had come to God with that relationship and wanted to trust him with that.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I started doing it a little bit. In terms of like just like talking to him a little bit more, because even like at that point I couldn't even message him, it was so hard. But yeah, just really trying to do that. But then it was like HSE
That's
it was like a stressful time.
That's another monster.
Like I won't say that was stressful because I did not study at all, did not care really. You guys should study and stay in school, please. But
study is good.
Yes, yes.
But for me,
study.
I wasn't focused on that. But in general, it's just like, yeah, a lot of things in my mind. I was trying to figure out a place to live after school, all these different things.
Mm. Yeah, it's all happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember I just moved to another friend's house, actually, and I was just, again, on my bed. And I was on my computer, I was on my computer, and I got this, like, friend request from this person, and the last name was my last name, and I was like, that's kind of weird because I haven't really met people with my last name before. And I, like, accepted it. They started, like, messaging me, and I was like, okay, what's going on? I was, like, looking at their, like, profile a little bit.
Mm.
And they were saying that they're, like, my dad's sister. And I was like, I didn't even know my dad had a sister. That's kind of weird. And then I was like, yeah, just looking at their page. And on their page, they had just made a post. I'll give you a little bit of context. I was just away on a youth leader retreat. Mm-hmm. So, every time I go away, I throw my phone away. I don't even look at it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Fully immersed.
Yeah, fully immersed.
No, good call.
But they were trying to contact me over the weekend.
Oh, okay. And,
but, yeah.
But I couldn't because you're away. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so I was looking at this Facebook page, and on the Facebook page they made a post, and it was about my dad.
Oh.
And the page, the post actually said that my dad passed away.
What?
And I was like, I don't really believe it because it's Facebook. But then through talking to this person, I found out that, like, it was legitimate, and then when they realized, they were really, like, sorry that I found out that way.
Yeah, of all the ways to find out something that's significant.
I guess in their defense, they had been trying to get you, but that is still really hard to find out that way. I'm sorry, man. Sorry that was happening to you.
Yeah, so, again, complete shock.
Of course.
Didn't know what to do, didn't know how to feel.
Yeah, it's hard.
And the next, like, I don't know, few weeks, it was just like a blur. I don't really remember it, to be honest. But then, like, I kind of was like, oh, okay, like, what's the next steps here? Like, I'll respond to all the people talking to me and trying to message me. And in my mind, I was just like thinking about like a funeral, right?
Mm.
I was like, oh, how's that gonna work? Because I didn't really know too much about the situation. Like, I got told he passed away from a heart attack.
Mm.
Okay.
And then
how old were you, sir, at the time?
18.
Yeah.
Okay.
18.
Finishing year 12.
Finishing year 12. Yeah.
Sorry,
in case people don't know how old you are when you're year 12, that's me. I'm from New Zealand. My apologies. So anyway, carry on.
So I was trying to figure out like a funeral. And I was in contact with my dad's sister.
Sure.
About it. But nothing was really coming out of it. They didn't really say too much, but they were the person that was like
orchestrating it,
or like was supposed to, right?
Sure, sure.
Kind of talking through that, and then won't go into heaps of detail, but like a month or two had passed and nothing had happened.
Oh wow,
no funeral. I didn't know where like his body was, or like if he got cremated or buried, or what happened at all.
Yeah,
like the last thing I heard about it was that Facebook page post.
Okay.
And then I went away on a mission trip overseas for 2 months.
Wow. Talk about feeling unresolved.
Yeah.
And right when you were like, you know what, God, I want this relationship to be restored. And then it's kind of like the rug got pulled out from under you.
Gosh, of all the challenges that could be thrown at you, a couple of people pass away, then your dad, then you find out you got a new brother, then you find out you got an auntie that you never knew you had.
Yeah.
And then, whoa.
But then you were like, right, mission trip.
Yeah, yeah. So
heading off on that, trusting God with this.
yeah, thinking about it now, it's kind of crazy, but I was like, no, I'm going to go on a mission trip and it's going to be great. And it was. I loved it.
Yeah,
I went with a friend for a month and a half, and then after that we went to another country for like a month or something. Mm-hmm. And it was actually I was having like lunch with some people, and it was like on my birthday they were throwing me lunch, which was really nice.
Yeah.
And I would like went back in my room to like get a drink or something, and I checked my phone, and I got this really long message, and it was from my, I think it was like my dad's auntie or something like that.
Okay.
Again, didn't know who this person was.
Yeah.
And
they sent her on Facebook because found you. Yeah. Okay.
They sent this big like long message, kind of being like, oh, I'm sorry for like how stuff's been handled a little bit, but then also was like, hey, like I actually just want to tell you the truth about the situation. I was like, oh, what's going on? And through messaging a little bit, she eventually told me that my dad didn't pass away from a heart attack and he actually took his own life.
Oh, that's so tragic. Oh,
no.
So again.
Lies.
I was
and also
trying to process
yeah, trying to process it.
New news. Oh my gosh.
And that was hard. 5 months after he passed away.
Yeah.
Far out.
And then I got back from my mission trip and I just like up until this point I was not going really well, but you know, I was chugging along. But I really just like fell hit like a low. Got really bad with my mental health. Yeah. Everything was, just felt hopeless at the time. And then throughout the next like month or two, I kind of just like gave up on like trying to do anything because, a couple of other things happened, but it basically ended with nothing happening and my dad's side of the family, pretty much all of them, just like not contacting me ever again. So that was like the end of 2019. So that went through the whole year. And then
COVID.
And then so, 2020 was when I started working at the church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which was great. Amazing experience.
Yeah, definitely.
But going into 2020, I was like, I actually don't want to think about this ever again.
Of course.
Which is so hard too, because I mean, the whole way that thing had sort of unfolded, it would have been very hard for you to try and get any closure or have, some real discussions with family members about it. And it just seemed to go on forever by what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would shake you.
Yeah.
And to try and process that.
Talk about like, because God doesn't test or tempt us or anything, but like, I think like, not God, but we can be put through trials just not to see if we'll stay, but like.
Trial comes, that's life, Trials come, not from God, but that's, life has ups and downs. It has just like the Bible says, it talks about highest mountaintops, deepest, darkest valleys and everything
in
between.
What happened to Job, like where, the devil goes, oh, Job's got everything, take away everything from Job, And so we know that the devil does those things. Like I'm not saying he did all that to your family, but like God will turn it for good. Like we can see you're sitting in front of us. You're, leading edge, leading youth. Like there's been a turning point somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's
and those
so hard.
Those dark, deep valleys, they really can challenge you. And kind of like when you were wrestling God earlier in your faith. I'm sure that season, like you said, when you look back on it now, was one of those times where God was there it just deepened your faith in him even more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I kind of stepped away a little bit from thinking about it. Just put it to the back of my mind, kind of worked at the church for like a year and then I did the second year and then like near the end of the second year, I was like, oh, it's actually like affecting me. Quite a bit, just like in everyday life, and I could start to see it affect like work and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because you
didn't know.
Well,
didn't have
I
any
just
closure and
yeah,
and
just
so unresolved.
Yeah, and you couldn't speak to them and stuff, and they weren't speaking to you. Yeah, that's so hard,
So I was, just before this, when I was like, I guess at the lowest point, I was constantly praying and kind of talking to God about it and trying to figure it out. And I remember I went up to I was living in Cronulla at the time. I went up to like the sand dunes. Mm-hmm. It was like at night time and I was just like crying out to God, you know, praying to him, like,
yeah,
yeah, lowest point, rock bottom. And yeah. in that moment, when I was doing that, I just had this, like, incredible, I can't describe it, like, sense of, like, peace come over me.
Wow. Yeah.
It was like, yeah, just like this wave that came over me. And in that moment, I, like, was like, actually, I'm okay because I'm in, like, a relationship with God.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, God cares about me and he loves me.
Yeah.
And awesome. Also I got this real sense, not this audible thing, but this real sense of, like, God saying, like, this is what's to come.
Yeah.
And I've really held on to that. And it really saved me. It really
beautiful.
Yeah, helped me, I guess, start to get out of that low point. And then yeah, I, like, started working at church. And throughout working at church, it was amazing. Yeah, and then I got to the end of that, which was the end of last. It was 2022. Mm-hmm. Like, the start of 2022, I was like, oh, like, I'm going to go and actually, like, properly deal with this and properly process it.
Yeah.
And properly, like, heal, I guess, in this sense. And I'm going to do it with the community around me, all the people God's placed in my life, and with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. I started that journey.
Yeah.
And it was really difficult, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
I was dealing with that, but then also, like, the past, like, my, like, I had to unpack the relationship with my dad growing up and all of those things. And the one thing I, like, kept on thinking about was that night that I was had that incredible peace, but also I was just thinking about, like, Jesus and, like, the person that he was and, like, his forgiveness for, like, everybody.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And that really challenged me because I was like, oh, I actually need to forgive my dad. Mm. And I need to forgive him for my whole childhood, everything growing up, but also, like, yeah, just everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess through thinking about that more and talking to people about it and praying it, I started to do that. And again, it wasn't a day or a night that I woke up and I was like, hey, I forgive my dad. But it was over months and months of trying to, yeah, figure it out and do it with God. And yeah, through that, I came to this point where I was like, hey, I can say I forgive him and I can have peace about the situation. Mm. And when I started to do that and when I believe that for myself, I could actually look back at my life and my situations and be like, God was working the whole time.
Yeah.
God was there. He was with me. He was putting people in my life. He was available and was listening.
Mm.
And, like, I would not be here now if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, I guess, this amazing thing of God being able to heal me in that sense and give me peace, but then also me be able to see God at work throughout my whole life and everything that's happened.
Yeah, that's powerful.
That is.
I think we touched on it before, you know, God doesn't let anything go to waste.
No.
And even if we can't see it in the storm at that moment because we are just standing and clinging onto the promise of God amongst that storm, when that storm clears, oh, happy day. Yeah.
And
there's so much more to come too, Dylan.
Yeah, so much more. And I'm sure you've got clarity, a little bit more clarity now. As you said, you look back at your life now and you can see God was there the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I just, like, I think, like, throughout the whole time, like, I was still, you know, following God, still Christian the whole time. Mm. But just, like, yeah, there was a couple of things that I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to, you know, come back or heal from this.
Mm.
And I'm just blown away now, like, from how amazing God is and how he's being able to do that in my life. And now for me to be able to, like, talk about it and share it with people. And also, like we were saying before, be like, be like that available person for other people is just like,
yeah,
it's the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah,
it is.
And it's so encouraging. And, you know, if anyone's listening right now, you know, there's no such thing as the picture perfect, you know, family dynamics we see on movies, because that's not the real world. So have faith, have trust, have hope that God can work through all relationships and all seasons. And, you know, if you're up at Guymy Baptist Church and you see Dylan, he's available, and I'm sure he'd love to have a chat with you as well.
Definitely.
Maybe have a pray.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So how has this incredible journey you've had, changed your life? Like,
oh, it has.
bit of a big question, but.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's so many different things.
Mm.
There's so many ways now and lessons that I've learned throughout the whole thing that just makes me love and appreciate God so much more.
Mm.
Like I said, through the whole times I was having questions, and through the bits of advice of like being able to live through the questions and still, you know, hold on to God and his truth, and that he loves me. Just like really believing that now for myself and living it out like so much. Like anytime I have any question, it's not, oh, like, is this going to make me crumble in my faith? It's how is God going to show me how beautiful he is through me trying to find the answers in this?
Oh, I love that. Know?
How is God going to reveal another aspect of his character that I haven't looked at before, or that I haven't fully realized that it's there? And it's through the journey, it's through the questions, the difficult times that I just appreciate God so much more, and like appreciate my relationship with it.
Yeah, that's so good.
That's awesome.
And that's the truth.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So final question, and you know, this might help others listening in now. How are you following Jesus?
I think in a few ways. I think firstly, following Jesus for myself, I am allowing myself to have time with God. Mm. I'm allowing myself to listen to him. Mm. And
what does that look like?
So
just so people that are like, how do I hear God, or
How do I spend time with God?
Like, what practical? Let's get practical.
Okay. That's good. I think, firstly, I do this a lot because I find it really natural, but I love listening to music.
Yeah, nice.
And just I used worship music as a way to really meditate on the truth of Jesus and the promises that he keeps. And also the truth in my life in seeing God at work. So like for example, right? Recently I was like trying to find a place to live again. And what I did the whole time I was trying to find a place to live was I was just repeating this one song. It's like worship song. I've listened to it thousands of times.
What's this song?
It's Build My Life on Jesus.
Oh, bam. Nice. Yeah, good one.
Because I was just thinking about it. I was like, man, every time anything has ever happened, I've had a foundation in Jesus and it's been okay. And actually,
that's right.
Like it says on my necklace, and what I believe is like nothing else matters except for like believing in God and my relationship with him. And then amazing, God was at work in that situation again, and I had a place to live. That's a wild story. again. And then like I didn't stop there. I went back and I listened to another song, and I think it was King of My Heart.
And I
just listened to the words of like, you're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. And again, so true in my life. It's so true in everybody's life.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess I just use worship to meditate for myself,
I guess,
and think about the words. So that's something I've been focusing on for myself. I think for other people, or like following Jesus, not like just for me, I guess, is kind of, just allowing myself to be available for other people, trying to be that person, but also realizing that maybe I'm not that person. But also just like, if there's ever a time that, you know, you want to chat or anything, like I'm there and I'll have that conversation with you. I also really enjoy like talking about like hard questions about God. I mean, I think you kind of have to being a youth leader. You really got to enjoy it.
You're going to get the difficult ones thrown at you, aren't you? Definitely.
Yeah. So kind of looking into the questions a little bit more. Sometimes there's questions that someone will have or a youth kid will have that I'm like, oh, I haven't really thought about that. So I'm actually going to spend the time to look through it and allow myself to say, like, I don't know, but like come back to it and come back to that person.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is my thoughts on it. This is what I looked at, you know. If you want to continue to think about these questions, like here's some things that can help and I'll support you all the way through that.
Yeah, nice. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, actually, this is quite a like tangible, practical thing that hopefully I'm going to be doing. Not 100% sure, but my mom and my stepdad up in Cairns are thinking about starting a youth group. They have to now because I've just said it.
it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's official, people. You heard it here first on the We're the Church podcast.
Yeah. They got to do it now. But if they do that, I was thinking of going up for a certain amount of time and just like helping with starting that.
Nice.
Like in terms of like leading and stuff like that, but also in terms of like, okay, when you start a youth group, what are the things that you need to do? What are the things you need to put in place? Like the structure and like the even down to like safe church policy, you know, because you want it to be like good and robust so it can continue because I'm not planning on just leaving GBC and going up there. Like I'm going to go and help and be able to
help them get the right frameworks in place.
Yeah, get the right frameworks and use everything I've learned at church working here and
being here. I love that. Yeah,
passing the baton, that's awesome.
So like God's developed those skills and now you can actually go and really put them into practice.
Yeah,
and
hopefully help
another church community get started.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
That's really cool.
Sharing the knowledge, sharing the wisdom that you've learned from here. And yeah, that's great. From GBC, awesome. So good.
Super exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. Well, it's been so awesome having you on, Dylan. Oh, my gosh, what an incredible story. Just blown away by what you've been through, but so encouraging to see what God's done and he's been there the whole time, as he is for all of us, but just to see what he's done in your life and how he's, you know, you've had some really difficult times, but you've clung to Jesus the whole time. That's a testament to you, bro. Like, awesome. And I'm hoping that people listening will, you know, hear that and go, oh, wow, you know, maybe that's all I need to do if I'm going through a difficult time is cling to God and Jesus. So, yeah.
And super exciting. You know, it sounds like God's got some really great plans for you here at GBC and in the wider community elsewhere as well. So I can't wait to see what God's got in store for you and hear more wonderful stories to come.
Yeah, super excited. We'll see you around GBC, Dylan.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymer Baptist Church, please check out the Guymer Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.